Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
My name is Jasmine Forsberg.
My name is Storm Lever, and you're listening to 11,
the official theater podcast.
Hello, and welcome to 11, the official theatre podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. They are the iconic queens of six that have gone from serving it up on the road to slaying it now on Broadway, and with other leading theatrical credits including Summer, the Donna Summer musical, and Here Lies Love. They're no stranger to life in the spotlight. So here in an exclusive conversation and direct from New York just ahead of their final show of the week, we talk bringing the story of Anne Boleyn and Jane Seymour to life as they help teach Broadway a remixed herstory lesson all of their own. How their bond as a group has travelled across the country over the past 2 years as a sisterhood, and why Summer and Here Lies Love really did change their lives. Doing the most? You bet. Please meet the queens singing the house down boots. Their words, not mine. It's Broadway superstars Storm Lever and Jasmine Forsberg here now on this, the next episode of 11, the official theatre podcast. To ensure the safety of all involved in this episode of 11, Storm, Jasmine and I connected for this conversation digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Please help me welcome to this, the next episode of 11. They are the superstar queens of Broadway that are currently rocking it out nightly and bringing a touch of remixed British history to sell out audiences already dancing. This is going to be my sort of chat. So let's start the top left of my screen and say, hi, Storm Lever, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing so well. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this in the style of remixing up. Do you want to introduce that rather lovely extra person that's at the bottom of the screen there with the biggest smile in the world? Do you want to take the honors?
Oh my gosh, I would happily do it. So at the bottom of our screen, joining the podcast, we have the legendary, the incredible, the talented, the kind, the generous Jasmine, who plays Jane Seymour.
Oh, hi, Storm. Hi, William. How's it going?
That introduction was perfect. I would never have been as good as that. So bless you for doing that.
Honored, Stormy. Truly. Thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this once again. It's a huge honor. And I should say, actually, as I reach forward, this is a podcast, so it's not actually going to be much use for people that can't see this. But I did come see your rather special show literally a week ago today. It feels like 5 minutes ago. And I'm back on British soil. But just to say congratulations, it was insane. Like, it was so good. I've seen this show at surprise, surprise, with it originating here in London rather a lot of times, but it just felt so different, so special, so fresh. I just got completely lost in it. I mean, Storm, is this just the best job you've ever had?
It is truly so, so special. It's one of those things, we were doing it on tour together and now we've been moved to the Broadway company, and I have a pinch me moment almost every night. Just the fact that not only am I telling this amazing story, but it's also working beside these incredible, incredible women where I'm truly a fan of every single one of them. So I sit back and, like, you know, the same experience that you had. I'm rocking out to their songs. I'm bopping my head. I'm in awe of all of their voices, and then have a pinching moment every night of, like, wait a minute, I'm on stage with them too. Someone let me sneak up here. So that's really special.
Jasmine, do you agree?
I couldn't agree more with everything Storm said. And I don't know when this podcast will be released to the public, but we are approaching Valentine's Day, which is our 2-year anniversary of meeting one another. We started rehearsals for the Aragon tour on Valentine's Day 2022. And it's bizarre to me how 2 whole years with these incredible women have passed, and I've learned more than I could ever imagine from just, as Storm said, being alongside them, witnessing their star power on stage night after night after night, but then also getting to tour the United States with them as well. You really get to know people when you travel with them, and I am so grateful to have found such a sisterhood in every single one of them.
What I love about you both talking about each other is the second the other starts talking about the other one, you just start smiling instantly. I was like, it's infectious. And I felt like that was what I did at the show.
Yeah.
I feel like just that space inside that theater is just joy. I feel like it's something so special that you sometimes try and create, and it just never happens in the way that it does authentically. And Jasmine, is that how you feel when you go to work every day? Just like, oh, and relax, I'm back in my happy space.
I don't know how Storm and I were chosen for this particular particular podcast, but we're also dressing room buddies. So every single day I walk into the space and we have a knock that we do, and Storm will always go, enter. And it is the perfect way of setting every single day up for just joy and success with this group of people. I mean, I think chemistry is something on stage that sometimes you have or you don't have it. And sometimes you can work to create it, but we just inherently had it with one another. And 2 years later, it's only grown. And so I'm so grateful to hear that you saw the show just a week ago to date, because this is 2 years of a relationship that we've created with one another. And yes, every time before we go on stage, Storm, maybe you can speak a little more to this, but we have an onstage circle before we... before the kabuki curtain drops open for ex-wives. We're back there, we're holding hands, starting literally day one of our Galentine's Day dinner that we had together 2 years ago. We would always connect eyes with every single person in the circle, and we pass along energy, we pass along a couple words and take some deep breaths together, and just being able to center ourselves and have this sense of togetherness before individually having our own moments to shine, and then obviously coming together at the end of six. It's just, oh, so special. I wouldn't trade this experience for the world.
It is really special. I also love that tradition of the circle that we do, because, you know, we've been doing this for 2 years now. So there are some days when somebody will come in with bringing on the energy that they have from their outside world, and we get to honor, like, hey, today I'm feeling a little tender. Today I'm feeling a little this. And we get to look that person in the eye, know that we're going to spend the show lifting them up, and do the same thing for the audience. I'm happy to hear that energy goes beyond the footlights, where you can see some people come to the show, they just got off work, or they're coming from whatever crazy energy that they were a part of. And so much of the show is engaging with the audience, is asking the audience to participate. It's very much a communal experience. And so we get to take that energy and like invite them in to this world of like, look, for these 90 minutes, we are going to release, we are going to laugh together, we are going to scream together, we're going to jam together, and we're just going to let go of all the craziness that's happening outside of this theater, and just like own this space and share this moment together. And I think, yeah, just having a practice where we're honoring what happens in the theater and honoring that release is really special.
I think the kids say today, like, it's like, it's giving. Do you know what I mean? Like, the show is
giving.
And it was giving last week. Like, it was so special. And, you know, I've had the real pleasure of seeing so many different iterations and casts of this show. And one thing I think so special about Six is that every time you go see a show, if it's a different cast in a different country, it does feel like something similar, but it feels like you are experiencing it for that person on that day and their interpretation. And I think what's incredibly commendable about coming to see it in a different country is you see something so different. Storm, do you experience and feel, I know you referenced about energy, but do you feel the fact that actually this very specific part of British history, which could be quite niche to some, is just people just want to know more? They're obsessed.
They are obsessed, for sure. And it's so fascinating, too, of doing a show like this, where I've done other shows that are based off of real people, where there's a real sense of like, let's gather as much information about them and let's get the families involved and let's honor their story. And what's fascinating about these, I don't even want to call them characters, these women in particular, so much of the history that we have on them, we don't know what is true, we don't know what is fabricated. We know that so many of the stories told about them were in order to impress or to, you know, validate the king's experience. So much of the, when you go back and you read articles about them, you read books about them, you read all the different texts that's out there about them, it is in favor of Henry. And you don't really get a sense of who these women are. You get them villainized often, and here's this version of Six the Musical that's telling their stories that is so an unapologetic version of them, this wild version of them. And I'm sure you can even attest to seeing different women portray these characters. There's so many different directions that you can go in, and all of them are valid in their own right, because we don't know who these women were and are. And I think that's just such a fascinating different way to look at at how we can portray these different characters throughout history, that there's a way to honor the essence. We're not going to get all the details correct, but we can honor that their stories are deserved to be told, that their perspectives are deserved to be told. And it's important to like hold space for all different perspectives, not just one that is honoring the man that was in power. Here's one that's for the girls, if you will.
Jasmine, how familiar were you with Jane's story before you first knew that this could potentially be a character that could be coming into your life?
Truthfully, I wasn't. This sounds crazy, but we hear oftentimes, being a part of Six, we hear that people know the rhyme, divorce, beheaded, die, divorce, beheaded, survive. I don't even know if I heard that growing up. And to be fair, I did 5 years of virtual school. And so who knows if that particular history lesson, I just didn't really absorb all that much. But that being said, I remember before we started rehearsal, our director of the tour gifted us these materials to watch. One of them was a documentary. I believe it was a BBC documentary?
It was, yeah.
Given a text to read as well, The Six Wives of Henry VIII, by who is the author? I'm going to be blanking on it. Sorry to all those people listening on the podcast. Storm's going to rescue me. I mean, we were given such incredible source materials, and I couldn't agree more that Storm, like, this was all up for interpretation, because as evidenced by so much of history, so much is written, not just to honor the king, but also just so much is written from a man's perspective, because oftentimes texts written, even biblical texts that were written by women are no longer in the Bible, if that's something that you read, you know? And so like, it's just so fascinating to see that like, not only do we have six strong women taking a stand on stage and telling their own version, but it's also six strong actors who get to tell their own story as well and infuse as much of themselves into this real life history and find themselves in this history. And I mean, when I first auditioned for the show, I was going in for four of the six queens. The only two queens that I didn't read for were Anne Boleyn, Anna of Cleves. It came down to another work session. So after the final callback, which I thought was going to be the last time I went in for the tour, they brought me in back again, and it was down to Catherine Howard and Jane Seymour. And at the final callback, I didn't even sing for Jane Seymour. I literally thought she was taken off the table. So when this work session came around and it was down to those two people, of course I knew I wanted to be in the show, period. But when I got that glory call that I was going to be in it, I thought it was going to be for Catherine Howard. I didn't think it was going to be for Jane Seymour. Now seeing Dee Dee Romero, our Catherine Howard's portrayal of it, there's no one in history who I think could truly touch the gift that she has given our company. But it's just so interesting how, you know, when a strong woman comes into the room, you want her to tell a story, you just don't know which one. And I think our company was such a puzzle piece. I know I strayed from your question a little bit on the history, but I think we've just infused so much of ourselves into these roles while also trying to honor these incredible women for the contributions that they've made to this history. And so it's just so special to tell the story night after night.
Definitely. And I also think that the diversity of thought balls, the diversity of person on stage is what makes this show so different to everything else. So actually almost the thing that I guess Broadway would steer against, or the West End would steer against previously in history, is actually the thing that makes this the most special, that makes this so incredibly unique and actually separate itself from so many other different shows, that I think is the extra wow factor that you feel very connected to as an audience member. And I don't know if you've had the pleasure of seeing the show and not being part of it, but you watch it going, I really want to get to know those people on stage as well as the characters. And I think that's incredibly difficult chemistry and relationship to make, but oh, it's so glorious to be an audience member.
It's like you said, there's so many shows that like follow specific archetypes where you go and you see, I don't want to throw any show under the bus, this show is fantastic, so let's use this as an example. Wicked, for example, there's a very specific Alphaba type. There's a very specific Glinda type. And every time you see the show, you're going to see a similar type that's going to portray that role. Whereas Six, you go across the board, and there's so many productions of this show going on right now, and no Anne Boleyns look the same. No Jane Seymours look the same or sound the same. And it makes it so you can see it over and over and over again. I'm sure you can attest to when you've seen it, each version is so, so different, and each company has like a specific and different energy to them that I'm sure brings out something new in the show every time you go.
I remember having the pleasure of having Danielle Steers, who played Catherine Parr, on this podcast when the show reopened in the West End. And her voice tone is considerably lower than anybody else that's ever played it. But when you sit in that theater and you hear that, you know, obviously a lot of highly pitched, and then you hear that, you think, And you get the tingles, and you go, that's why we do this. That's why we don't want to copy and paste of what we've seen before. So, you know, I think, and you know, that's a real testament to Toby and Lucy for the fact that they see everybody. And I think that's incredibly important. And I will say, actually, I think that's reflective of why the audiences for Six are incredibly varied from social economic backgrounds, gender, sex, race. I think it's incredibly important. And it's why I think everybody wants to see the show across the world. I mean, can you get a ticket to Six on Broadway? It's blooming hard. I don't know if you've tried.
You can get tickets. There's a standing room available every single night for $40. So there's affordable tickets available. They have a lottery available. There's tickets out there.
Some. Nobody's standing, by the way. It's a dancing ticket at the back. Nobody is standing still. Yeah, nobody's standing still during Ex-Wives.
That's right. I don't know. This isn't necessarily my story to tell, but I just wanted to launch something into the room. Storm, what was it like, speaking of blending of companies and how, I mean, like, we have so many people who have approached these roles before us that we look up to so much. And what was it like being on tour with Natalie? Because Natalie... to finish off the Aragon company's run. And you know, she's OG Seymour. So what was it like having somebody on stage who has truly helped like build the show from the ground up?
First off, I love, love, love Natalie. She couldn't have been more humble. She couldn't have been, you know, this is the OG creator of this show. And she could have easily came in with her feather boa and like gloves and sunglasses and just been the queen of all queens. But she truly came just the most humble, the most caring, and just, you know, in awe of her own legacy of getting to see it travel across the country in the States. And, you know, this was her first show in the States that she got to do. And just really, I got to watch her soak in her own legacy. And hearing her talk about too, how her relationship to Jane Seymour has changed over the years, having to revisit the role, how she's changed as she stepped into the role has been fascinating. And we even, you know, we had been doing the show at that point for almost a year together. So us as a company had to adjust to, we had two new energies. We had Courtney Mack that came in as Catherine Howard, and Natalie Paris that came in as Jane Seymour. So we also had to adjust of how our roles fit into these new energies. Because there's very much, I don't know if you've felt this, Jasmine, but there's very much some adjusting that we have to do and finding the way, like our own rhythm of how the scenes rise and fall and how the jokes come and go. And so there's a lot of recalibrating of how to match each other's rhythm, how to blend with each other. And they both are so amazing and gracious, and they listen to us, and we found our own rhythm. But it's a testament to just the people that they picked for the show are really selfless human beings on and off the stage. And so there was never an energy of like, the diva has arrived. I've been doing this for years. It very much is, yes, I get to like meld myself to new energies, and we get to find our own groove. And I will say it was pretty groovy.
Also, anybody that spent even 5 minutes with Nappy knows that she is incredibly naughty as well. There's laugh a minute with her. She is much fun. She is the best. And also the voice is ridiculous. Like the fact that that's a gift given to her. I mean, just ridiculous. We've all worn out that Six Cass album with her. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think it's part of that's an archetype that's the same. If you're going to be Jane Seymour, you have to sing the house down boots. It is a requirement.
Now, Jasmine, I feel like there's a very natural progression from that to you, and obviously playing Jane Seymour and singing a certain song. For you, are you just like, yeah, I can do this? Or are you like absolutely, utterly terrified? Because let's be honest, that's a big, big, big song. Like you, there's no off days playing Jane Seymour, right?
It is a big sing for sure. For sure, for sure, for sure. And I, from a dramatic standpoint, I think there is a world, and it's not the world that I live in, but there's a world where like you could get really, you could get like bored, or you could be boring singing the ballad. If you're not dropped into the circumstance every single night, it could become the song that just kind of sits in a color, and it's a little slower, and it's like the audience gets a chance from high energy to kind of like calm down a little bit. And I love feeling so connected. Selfishly, as an actor, when I get to go through an experience and hopefully have the audience go through an experience and a journey at night, It is so deeply fulfilling, and for that reason, it never gets old to me. And similarly to Natalie, and I've, you know, I took a 6-month period of time to work on a different show prior to rejoining Six on Broadway with my girlies. But so much life has happened between when I started this journey 2 years ago and now. And I guess similarly to Natalie, it's been incredible to see how Heart of Stone has evolved over the course of 2 years. I mean, I fell in love for the first time. I experienced this joy in my life, and I experienced a loss in my life similarly that makes me consider, you know, what it's like to say those lyrics, soon I'll have to go, I'll never see him grow. I didn't necessarily lose a child, but when your heart takes on such transformations over the course of a couple years, it is so beautiful to see how much storytelling can evolve over that time. And so from a dramatic standpoint, it is a gift to be able to sing that song. It's slightly perhaps at times I need to put my hand out. For those who can't see me, I'm literally putting my hand out right now to keep a little bit of distance from, you know, my personal life in the role. And I have to really step into Jane for that. But there are other nights when, like, I get to heal, me, Jasmine, I get to heal on stage. And I hope that the audience who gets to experience that with me feels that sense of evolution and journey. And that's really special for this period of my life right now. And from a vocal standpoint, oh, Storm being my dressing roommate can attest. Since the beginning of time, she'll just hear me like going, yeah! Like, oh my God, I can't even believe I did that on the podcast right now. She's not warm right now, but at 8 o'clock tonight, she will be. But the amount of vocal warm-ups that we do collectively in order to make sure that those, the particular stratospheric notes that I have chosen to be a part of my to know that they can be reached and to know that they can be supported, it is a journey. But we value our warm-up time, that is for sure.
Storm, it is a journey that she makes look so easy. I'll come into that dressing room and I'll dust off the cobwebs from these cords, and this girl is sitting next to me just like, you would think that she woke up with the birds and is singing to the sky and just gorgeous. And I don't know, when, like, when I'm matching Jazzy's tone, that's when we're warm. That's when we're ready to go. We are very thorough on our warm-ups, but this sis is ready to live in the stratosphere. She lives with the birds.
The birds. Oh my gosh.
Also, I completely feel like you did just own yourself there a little bit by saying that you chose to do. So the only person that's got to blame for any of this is you. So to yourself, from yourself, what the fuck were you thinking?
She came back for this version when we're doing it on Broadway. Her rendition is already incredible and mind-blowing. I get to watch the audience every single day. She hits those notes and I watch people collectively lose their ish, pee their pants, like just gobsmacked in the audience. And this woman, when we came back to do this version, she said, you know what? I'm already doing the most, but I'm gonna do the most and then some, and add an even crazier riff, even higher. I didn't even know those notes existed, but they are here and they're here to stay, and she's nailing them 8 shows a week.
Well, thank you, Stormy. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that also as well with this show that you get to sit on stage and experience it. Obviously, I know that you are supporting as well, but like to get to be there, and I'm sure you feel it as well, that everybody is, as a collective, it feels like a unit. But from the audience perspective, yeah, I don't know, this is very niche, but like, do you remember there was that viral clip from Wicked a while ago when Jessica Vosk did some like crazy notes and like Twitter went like, and it was like, I think someone called it like the gay gasp. That was me watching this show continuously every time. It was like, oh, for God's sake. Like, if someone was recording me, they'd tell me to shut up.
No, that's the correct energy to bring to sex.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com.
Storm, like, that song is quick. You got to go. Like, when it goes, you go. And if you're not there, it runs off. Are you like, oh, yeah, great. Ha, 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 ha. Or are you like, oh, fucking hell, not this again.
Fun. Like, that song is just, like you said, like, if you're not ready to get on the train, it's going to leave you. And so I'm already hyped because Kayla opens the show as Aragon, and she is bringing you beast mode every single night. So I'm already locked in from like starting the show with No Way. We're dancing our little faces off. I'm feeling myself. I think I'm a dancer who's been dancing down since dance was dance. So I'm already like in it. And then, you know, Don't Lose Your Head starts. I'm like, oh, right. This little old number, little old me gets to go. And I'm already hyped up, I think, because of her song, and it is too much fun to do. I also was, when we first were auditioning for the show, was in for multiple roles, and Anne Boleyn was probably the last one on my radar, and now it baffles me of like, I can't imagine doing any other song. Like, it just feels so right, it feels so fitting, it is so disgustingly fun. I love it a little too much.
How do you find that balance, both of you, between, like, I guess, obviously, Anne's song comes a bit quicker, but there's, like, it's fast, and then suddenly it's very beautiful and petite and pretty. And the same with Jane, like, you do all of this dancing, and it's, like, energy, 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 and then it's you. Like, how do you not die? Like, it's wild. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay. We said work for your money.
Work for your money. Earn that paycheck. I have a vivid memory of when we were first learning the show. We went chronologically, and our choreographer, beloved Carrie Ann, she came and worked with us for 4 weeks when we were learning the show back in 2022. And I still remember the first day we kind of learned the show in chunks. And so we like ran from, I think it was the top to maybe through House of Holbein. And that was like our act one, if we could split it into two acts. And we had to do that once, maybe once or twice before we finished learning the rest of the show. And I remember, I don't know about you, Storm, but I was like, that experience was daunting for me. And I still remember when we first learned Ex-Wives, which is giving 7 minutes long, 7 minute opening number or so, like roughly. I remember learning that and panting afterwards and being like, how do you do the rest of the show? How do you do it? But when you know, I think our bodies collectively have gotten so conditioned for the show. I can speak for myself in that if I only do the show, that's not enough. I have to do supplemental stuff on top of it because the show is so high energy and demanding cardio-wise that, like, I need to work on the strength in addition to that. And I think probably any athlete or so would incorporate those versatility workouts and training into their practice. But wow, this show is, you are shot out of a cannon. And we go on stage maybe in totality for like 60 seconds, maybe 1 minute, 20 seconds total spent off stage the entire time, maybe. What do you think, Storm?
I mean, yeah, we have spend very little time off stage. And when we are off stage, we are chugging water. Yes. We recently added some like humidifiers to the side. So I'm also sticking my head in the humidifier, getting a little extra moisture on those cords before going back out. But I remember that rehearsal so vividly where we finished. I think there was one time we ran the show for the first time from top to bottom, and we finished and we looked at each other and we were like, I'm not okay. They want us to do this in front of an audience, a paying audience, in front of human beings. But now we're good. Now we can breathe. Now we can do things after the show. Now we're perky. We've come a long way. We've definitely, our stamina has caught up with our nerve. I'm in awe of you in particular, Jazzy, because you have to go from No Way to Don't Lose Your Head. And then after that, all of us get to sit down and watch the back of your head give us life. And you, after doing those two high energy numbers, belt your little face off, and it is incredible.
For a whole year and a half, I went that entire period not getting water, not knowing that it was an option. I thought I couldn't. I thought the Seymour track couldn't get water before Heart of Stone, and it was only revealed to me 2 weeks ago that that's not the reality. And here in New York City, when you have the old theater combined with putting the heat on, it's just dry, it's dusty, it's not giving great air quality. And I was like, to our stage manager, Sharika, I was like, Sharika, I'm dying out here. I don't know what it is, but I'm struggling. And I know that I can do this because I've done it for like 400 performances. So I know I can do it. Why am I struggling so much? And she was like, you can get water. We can put a bottle on stage for you. It's changed my life. It's changed my life. Truly.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Storm, can I ask you slightly self-indulgently, but you played one of my biggest icons in my life, Miss Donna Summer. I wondered, could I just ask you, obviously yesterday, Donna rightfully got her Grammy Award moment and we finally saw her wonderful children go and accept that award. Can I ask you just, I mean, I've spoke to Ariana DeBose so many times about this and she's just fulfilled and filled my cup in ways that I never could. But I mean, just to get to play somebody of that stature, of that success, of icon status that I think is actually untouchable. I mean, what was that experience like? I mean, that's a real person that people know and love, right?
Yes, and her family, it was so good to see them on the screen again. They were so involved. They are so dedicated to honoring their mother's memory in just like the most selfless, beautiful way. They're all artists and they're all doing their own thing in their own right and have incredible careers, but the way that they still uplift this woman who just like set the blueprint for so much of pop music, like she is on another level. And getting to, you know, I was lucky enough to be a part of the developmental part of this show, Summer, the Donna Summer musical, where we did a workshop, we took it out of town to La Jolla Playhouse, and then we brought it to Broadway. And so we really got to build the story and build the script with her husband in the room, with her daughters in the room, to try to get it as close to their mother's essence and try to at every step honor who this woman was and honor her memory and give, like, you know, this is going to speak to what her legacy was for the rest of time. Anytime somebody does Summer, the Donna Summer musical. And people used to ask me, did I get nervous? It was my Broadway debut. And are you ever nervous going on stage? And I truly never once was, because before I entered, her entrance is after LaShawn's made her entrance and Ariana DeBose made her entrance. And so I got to watch these two women portray Donna, and then I would have a moment off stage. I would look up and I would have a moment of like, this is for you. This is something that is outside of me. This is not about me. This is truly whatever happens for these next hour and a half. This is going to be about just trying to hold space and honor you. All of these people are in the theater because of you. And it took away any bit of nerves, any bit of parts of like, what are people going to think of Storm? It had nothing to do with me. And it was just special on a different level, because similar to this, when you are telling a story that is about a real person, it becomes bigger than yourself. It becomes bigger than anything that you can do. You are trying to hold space for this person that doesn't have a voice anymore. And so you get a captive audience that's gathering because they have a shared love of this being, and you get to bring them back to life for this moment in time. And yeah, it was really, really special. And her family is one of a kind. They really are special people in the way that they speak about their mother.
Which, to be able to connect with them about their mother and to celebrate their mother is not really an experience that I think that comes along all that often, which I think is what makes, I mean, Ari spoke so much about how special that whole experience was. And it was just like, it's this thing that you never really lose because it was just so special. And I love the fact that to audiences that got to see it and people that really love her, to see you do her justice as well. It just felt like everything came together. It felt like a good one.
You really did. And you cannot tell people that Donna Summer was not on that stage. The way the audience was, Donna, I love you, Donna, Donna. Ma'am, you have to stop climbing on the stage. This is a play. This is, take your drawers off the stage. Do not throw me your bra.
But I did get off the stage, so thank you. It's fine. Yeah.
It
Jasmine, did you have a similar experience in terms of just expectation and excitement when you did hear Lies Love? Like, did people just love the fact that this was like so much anticipation, this ridiculously top tier cast, like the best that Broadway has to offer from across the globe as well. And the fact that it was shaking things up, the fact that this was like, this is Broadway like you have never seen before.
Here Lies Love is an experience that, similarly to Six, I wouldn't have traded it for the world. Being able to tell a story that wasn't just an AAPI story, but a uniquely Filipino story. I've never been able to tell that before. So stepping into that every single night, there was this sense of pressure in that, like, we were making history as the first all-Filipino cast on Broadway. And so there was a little bit of a sense of pressure of, like, we need to do this story justice because we are helping pave the way, hopefully, for so many more stories that are so specific in that way to be told. We were representing an entire culture by sharing this story. And also, from a logistical standpoint, this show was 10 plus years in the making. It had its first run at the public back in 2012, 2013. And so 2013, I believe. And so, and it was being worked on for so many years prior to then. And so I felt like I had some big shoes to fill, knowing that there were members of this company who love this show so much and want to see it succeed who weren't in the Broadway company. There were members of the Here Lies Love Pamelia from the West End, from Seattle, from the off-Broadway productions. And so there was so much love being poured into it and so much care. And for that reason, I wanted to treat it with such care, but also a sense of ownership as well. And being able to play this role that was such a badass. I mean, this role, Maria Luisa, she is a figment of Imelda's imagination. She acts and functions as Imelda's inner voice. While Imelda goes through these very heightened emotional states throughout the show, Maria Luisa comes out and is like, I'm gonna belt. Stormy actually saw our very final performance. So she saw a very emotional version of the show, that's for sure.
Everything.
But I mean, there was a huge sense, I'm repeating myself now, but a sense of care and ownership. Like, both can coexist. Both things can coexist where it's you're being delicate because you know that this is material that is real. Once again, speaking of real stories, I mean, the People Power Revolution that happened in 1986, like we had some members of our company who were martial law babies, like their family fled from the Philippines, and they were maybe 2-1 years old when that happened, type of thing. Like, so this history, Leia Salonga, when she came in, she said she was, I think, having a birthday party as either a 12-year-old or a teenager, early teens, and there were tanks rolling across the street during martial law. Like, that's something that she lived through. And so it is just, there is a level of care that goes into storytelling when you know it is a story, just as Storm said, that's bigger than your own. So in that sense, there was pressure, but it was also because you wanted to do it justice and you wanted to do a really great job with it, but also a sense of release of just knowing, like, we're here, we made it, we get to tell a story that is so deeply meaningful to us on the biggest stage in the world, on Broadway. And so I really hope that in spite of it closing earlier than I would have wished it to, I would hope it would run forever and ever and ever. And that show was huge, so questionable in the sustainability of it forever and ever and ever. But I hope that one of our producers, when we closed, he said, I'm actually thinking of this as an opening because I hope that we have opened the doors for so many more stories like this to be told and so many more risks to be taken in such a way that it pays off so big, because, like, that's what theater making is. Like, we continuing to push the envelope of what we believe theater can be. And I really, truly, sincerely know that Here Lies Love did that.
This is my favorite question. So when we talk about, like, Donna Summer, we talk about Here Lies Love, we talk about taking this show on the road, or we talk about the fact that you are starring every night on Broadway, literally the biggest place for live theatre, which is just a gift in itself. When we think back to the very beginning, the first time you went, do you know what, I'd really like to do that singing and dancing thing that people seem to be doing, that feels like a little bit of me. When you think back to that person and the journey that you've been on from then through to now, What on earth would they think of the you that's been sat here talking to me for the last half an hour?
Oh, I talk to that little girl often. I really think of her often in moments when I'm being hard on myself or being critical of myself. I really try to think about that little storm that, like, look around you and look at your life. Look at all of this dream, this crazy, crazy dream that you had when you shoved your parents onto the couch and said, I'm going to do a show, and would force them to listen to me sing Little Mermaid, Part of Your World, with a fake tail that I made out of a blanket. Like, that little cuckoo bananas girl is now shoving audiences into their seats and making them watch her in two spiky buns jump up and down on stage in a plastic costume. And it just really puts so many things into perspective, where you just said this earlier of, like, of course we can acknowledge that there's work to be done and we're still not done, and there's so much more progress we want to have made in our personal lives, in the grander scheme of life. But that doesn't mean that you can't stop and take stock of all of the blessings that are currently happening. And yeah, when I think of that little girl, it is an instant way for me to check back in and have a moment of, like, no, you are living out your dream. Like, never forget for a second, take a moment and be really present, because this is the we've made it moment. Anytime you look at that little girl and what her wants are, she did it. And there's still more to be had. We're not done. That doesn't mean that it ends here. We have so much more that we want to do. But yeah, when I think of her, I just really take stock of, yeah, we're doing it.
Jasmine?
William, I got emotional when you asked the question. Storm, hearing your answer made me emotional, because the last year has been such a year of learning about duality, about how multiple truths can exist at the same time. You can be so aware that you're, like, in the moment living your dream, while also being aware of what you've sacrificed and the hard work that you have given every single day to get there. And I just think about the little girl who dreamed of doing this, and I can't help but I just smile. Like, I can't help but think she would be so proud that Big Jazzy is living her dreams night after night. I get to do it. And this, you know, so many people, they take time to find their passions in life. But this, for me, it was always this. And there was a world where I wanted to be a doctor. That's not to say I would have been, but when I was 12, there's an interview somewhere of me saying, yeah, when I'm older, I want to be in the medical business. Not even field, business. But I think even she was kidding herself. I always knew. The interview was for a theater job. So, of course, I always knew that I was, that this is my dream and what I wanted to do. And I am so... there is a deep sense of pride and joy. And my yogi tea the other day, I was drinking it and it said, gratitude leads to love. And so I'm just giving myself all the space in the world to hold and to make room. I'm making room for so much gratitude to come in, because, you know, this is my first love. First and foremost, doing this every single night and living my dream is a gift that I cherish every single day. And so I am just grateful. So yeah, little Jazzy's very proud.
Here's to being proud. Here's to being grateful. And more importantly, here's to acknowledging how far we've come. Because I don't think we do that enough. And if there's something that I hope we all and people listening take, is that we should look backwards now and again, because actually I think we often don't realize how far we've come. And it's the performance that you gave last week is extraordinary. And the way in which I know that this show brings people together really is a real genuine gift. So thank you so much for last week. Thank you so much for this conversation. And thank you so much for what you're going to give to so many people in the future. It's what a wonderful time to be on Broadway, and what a wonderful show to be part of. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, William.
Are you doing the show this evening? Are you you ready to rock?
Oh, yeah. Last of the week.
Warm, 8 o'clock. You said warm, 8 o'clock, yeah?
Yes, 7 p.m. actually. We got this.
Yeah. If you're warm at 8, we're in trouble. So that's fine.
No, right? Halfway through the show. Finally.
Woo! 8 o'clock's all you want to do time. We got to be warm before that.
Thanks.
See you soon. Bye, bye, bye.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at 11podcast.com or via the Broadway Podcast Network.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit. that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.